Well, here we are. Another Bikescape. A somber Bikescape tonight. It's the second anniversary of the beginning of the war. Let me start some music so it doesn't have to be too gloomy. But some... How about some Monk in the background there? A little Thelonious Monk. There we go. So, yeah, 2 years since the war started. And, more and more, it looks like it really was an oil war. You know, people thought, well, maybe there was weapons of mass destruction. Maybe there was terror, you know, connection to the 9/11 from Saddam Hussein. And, you know, nobody likes Saddam Hussein, you know. I certainly don't. And I hope he gets his due. But you got to keep your eye on the real reason we were there, you know. After World War I, Iraq got carved up by the oil companies. Shell, BP, Exxon, Total was the name of an oil company back then. They all had stakes in the Iran Petroleum Company, and they paid pennies on each barrel of oil, built a pipeline to take it away, and you know, it was made in the shade. You know, we knew which side of the bread the butter was on, and that's the whole reason we're in Iraq right now. And if you don't believe me, you know, just look at how the museums were looted, but the oil ministry wasn't. You know, the oil ministry had guards out front, and you know, that was the thing that was kept intact. And actually, now, surprise, surprise, you know, it's been pretty hard to get oil out of that country. They keep blowing up the damn oil pipelines. So it's an ugly situation. It's bad, and. Fortunately, those of us who ride bicycles know what the solution is. So there was some big protest in San Francisco, actually around the world, last Saturday. Tens of thousands of people poured out into the streets, which is pretty good considering this war's been droning on. It's not in the front page of the newspaper anymore. San Francisco, we had a few tens of thousands of people. I didn't count. I don't know how many people showed up, but it was as far as the eye could see where I was. And I went. And my wife Karen went and brought the kids along. And I brought the iRiver and got a few interviews. So have a listen to how things went. Ran into a few people I knew and a few people I didn't. So have a listen to what was going on the streets there.
Like that.
Okay, so we're walking next to this guy who's got a bike and he's got a bumper sticker hanging from the top tube that says, "Warning, using gas causes terrorism in war." Care to explain?
I like it. I like that bumper sticker because I think it's just a succinct reminder of what this more than a decade now of imperial war is at its root, you know? We all get to make choices about whether we support this imperialist war machine or not. Real simple choices, like what kind of transportation options we choose or refuse.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like Shell Oil makes us money without people actually giving it to them.
Right, yeah. Right. We're all in on this rotten, bloody deal.
Right.
And we can all step out of it. I mean, it's a little bit pie in the sky, but it's an easy thought experiment to make. What if tens of millions of people stopped driving in this country?
Yeah, or at least just drove those rare times when it really is absolutely necessary, which
sure.
is almost
yeah.
never really, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, every once in a while, you do need a mobile pollution device.
Yeah.
But for the most part...
Ambulances, food
yeah.
trucks.
Yeah.
Although, yeah...
For the most part, most people, most of the time, are engaged in internal combustion vehicle abuse, one could say.
Well, there's something about just owning one makes you want to use it.
Sure. Yeah. Once you've thrown all that money down,
yeah.
then it really, on a personal level, makes sense to use it as much as possible.
Yeah, because... So how much do you think you spend every month on your bike commute? Do you bike to work and you bike for work, don't
you? I bike for work. I bike to work. I bike away from work. I bike recreationally. But I don't think of myself as a fanatic, by the way.
I'm like me with my podcast about biking. but I see you don't have a bumper to put your bumper sticker on.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of unfortunate. I had to make a surface. but you said how much do I spend in terms of money?
Yeah, well, compared to, we were just talking about how we have to buy, once you buy into owning a car,
right.
you have to use it to make it even half
right.
worthwhile.
Right.
Or it seemed to be worthwhile.
Yeah, well, my experience with a bicycle is that it seems to be essentially free once you've bought it. I mean, it really is.
$30 for a tire once in a while.
Yeah, yeah, but...
Every now and then, $100 for a new crank.
Yeah, but that's every few years.
Yeah.
It's back on.
So did you get here by bike today?
Yes, well, by bicycle and train.
Train, and then you came from down south?
From San Mateo.
I see. So you see a connection between how you got here and what you're saying here?
Of course. The book, The End of Oil, or Out of Oil, they pretty much are talking about how they're at peak oil right now, and it's going to get much more difficult to keep producing the amount of oil that is needed. And they predicted, wars and upheaval because of this need to get oil. And I see the neocons and the corporatists as starting this now, that they need to control oil now before China controls it, before unified Europe controls it. And they don't see them, other people, as people. They just see these resources that they can take, because if they don't take it now, somebody else will. And we don't need it. We don't need the oil. We can do so much with so much less. I mean, if you look at California, after Enron was manipulating our market, we turned around and we got off the grid and we conserved and we cut our costs. And there wasn't a blackout the next year, and it didn't have anything to do with more resources. We didn't need more resources. All we needed was conservation, and it's the same thing that we need with oil.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, do you drive? Did you drive to this protest?
No, because I don't own a car.
What's the connection, do you think, between not owning a car and being at the protest? Can you fabricate something?
I had to take public transportation to get here.
And how does that relate to the being at this protest politically?
Politically?
That's what I'd like to know.
Taking part here?
Yeah.
How does that relate to me politically?
Yeah. Everything you do has a political impact.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good. It's a good example. I think that people are teachers all the time, whether they recognize it or not. And if you do things that other people think are impossible, then it can't help but sprout little new ideas about their own mobility and what they can do. Like, if that person's not driving a car, maybe I don't have to drive a car. Because driving a car actually sucks most of the time. Sometimes it's fun. I definitely understand why people like driving. But, there's a lot of driving that really sucks.
Hey, I'm doing this audio blog. I was wondering... That's the one I was looking for. Could you explain what... I have a blog called Bikescape. It's about bicycles and stuff like that, but I'm covering this from a bicycle point of view. And you have a sign that says, boycott gas, for instance.
Yes.
Want to elaborate a little bit?
Well, it's pretty much no secret that this is the war for oil. And one of the things we can do is make it less important.
Do you drive?
I ride a bike.
Oh, okay. For you? We'll be right back.
sorry about the really crappy sound quality. It was pretty noisy that day. People were making a lot of noise. There were helicopters in the air, people ranting into microphones, and little old me with my iRiver trying, you know. I don't use a microphone like I should. I have a nice lavalier microphone, but when you ride a bike, it's just nice not to have all those wires hanging all over the place. So I use the internal microphone, and I don't know. This time it didn't really work out too well. Got to get a unidirectional for going out in those noisy situations. Anyway, enough of the gloomy stuff. Next week, I really do plan on having a more bike-oriented podcast. So don't give up yet, and we're gonna go. I really plan on going out to the bike ballet next weekend. They'll be practicing out by the Randall Museum like they do every Sunday. And I'm going to go down there and spend some free cheese and bread and beer and hang out with the bike ballet, bike ballerinas and do some of that stuff. So that'll be great. And won't it? So, new tradition is to go through the community calendar. A lot of stuff happening here in San Francisco. Right now I'm covering San Francisco activities in New York, just because I get calendars in the email from New York and from San Francisco here where I live. So if you live in a town that, you know, Chicago, Des Moines, wherever, send me an email with your local bike coalition, bike federation calendar, and I'll put some stuff up on the community bulletin board here. Here in San Francisco, tomorrow or today, probably when you're listening to this, the Bay Bridge bike resolutions will be heading to the Board of Supervisors, which is kind of like our city hall. Our town council is a board. We're a county, a city and a county in San Francisco. And we've been pushing really hard to get, allow bicycles on the new Bay Bridge. And the new part of the bridge is going to have a bike lane. But oddly enough, you know, the Bay Bridge goes halfway across the bay. It stops at an island, goes through a tunnel, and goes onto the other part of the Bay Bridge. And the other part of the Bay Bridge doesn't seem to be any plan to have any kind of bike path on that side of the bridge, which is kind of silly. And Caltrans, you know, when you think about the number of people you could actually move across that bridge if everybody wasn't in cars, it's astounding when you think about it. So that's going to be happening tomorrow. Tom Amiano is bringing some legislation forward, and that's just basically within our city, you know. Have to go to the state for a lot of this stuff to really get it going. Potrero Avenue passed the MTA board, the improvements of bike lanes and traffic calming. Wednesday, day after tomorrow, Wednesday will be the Tube Times folding party over at the San Francisco Bike Coalition at their new offices over on 6th Street. Actually, it's a 995 Market Street, Suite 1550. I haven't been there yet. I hear they're up on the 15th floor, and they got quite a nice view of the city. But they're at Market and 6th. And what else have we got going on here? The 14th and Folsom Bike Box is going in. This is something new to San Francisco. The people over at the Bike Coalition have been pushing for this for years, and for the first time in San Francisco, we're going to put some paint on the ground to create San Francisco's first bike box at the intersection of 14th and Folsom. And that's basically, you have your place where the cars stop, and then you have a bike box, an area where the bicycles wait in front of the cars, not behind where all the exhaust is, and in front of the cars where they can see, and it provides a spot for bicycles to wait for the red light. And so you have the car is stopped, a bike box, a crosswalk, and then the intersection. So it's traffic calming. It's a bicycle amenity. Just one of those little luxuries that you probably won't know how you ever did without. So I hope that's successful. Oh, they're looking for volunteers. What else is new? Upcoming events. Here's a good one. TLC. Which is called the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition and Transportation for a Livable City, is pleased to invite SFBC members and others to a special reception with Dr. Donald Shoup, author of The High Cost of Free Parking. He's got a PhD in economics, so he knows what the hell he's talking about. He's a professor at UCLA's Department of Urban Planning, and he has a distinguished career studying and writing about transportation issues. And he's saying that, you know, basically a parking spot is just a big car factory. It just makes it easier to drive. And what is it? I think there's a rule of thumb for every parking spot you can in the city. You can imagine that there's three cars using it. And so there's, at any one time, there's two of those cars on the road. Parking in your bike lane and cutting you off at the corner and all that stuff. So, and of course, 6 p.m. Justin Herman Plaza at the foot of Market Street on the last Friday of the month is Critical Mass. I'm going to get some ambient sound this time. I'm going to just get some sound. I don't know if we'll take you to another Critical Mass. I don't know. I might turn on the iRiver and see what I can pick up, but I just want to get some sounds of Critical Mass. I just love the way it sounds. That was the thing that struck me from the podcast we did of Critical Mass, and it struck a few other people that I didn't realize we were catching. It's just wonderful sounds of the streets, you know, the, how the streets, the sound of the streets can change when you take over the streets with bikes. Okay, let's move right along. This is taking a while here, isn't it? Time's Up in New York is this great organization, times-up.org, in New York City. They are an environmental educational group, and they help promote Critical Mass up in Manhattan and Brooklyn. And among other things, they do a lot of things, and among them is they have bike repair workshops every Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the Time's Up space, 49 East Houston, between Mott and Mulberry. Every Thursday, they have a Fix Your Bike workshop at 6 p.m. They got movie night every Thursday at 8 p.m. That sounds like fun. They're going to, this week on March 24th, they're doing The History of the Tour of Flanders, Parts 1 and 2. That's at the Time's Up space at the same spot, 49 East Houston. They've got Critical Mass in Manhattan also, Friday, March 25th at 7 p.m., Union Square North. The Riverside Ride, Saturday, March 26th at 10 p.m., Columbus Circle entrance to Central Park. They got a big fundraising meeting, and that sounds exciting. Sunday, March 27th at 4:30 at the Time's Up space. The Central Park Moonlight Ride. That sounds really nice. Friday, April 1st at the same place, so 10 p.m. Friday, April 1st at the same place, Columbus Circle entrance to Central Park. And they'd like to take a ride together to the first Saturday. They have a free ride to the first Saturday at the Brooklyn Museum. And I assume that the first Saturday of the month, they must be free at the Brooklyn Museum. And they're meeting on April 2nd, Union Square Southside at 5:30 p.m. Or you can meet them at the George Washington statue in the square on the Brooklyn side of the Williamsburg Bridge. So that's the kind of stuff that's going on in New York. We are in the process of negotiating some interviews with somebody in New York to find out what's going on over there. They had a pretty bad time during the convention. There were some bike protests during the convention, the Bike National Congress. Bike National Convention, I guess, is what it was called. And a lot of people were arrested, and we'll talk to some of them and find out what's going on with if they ever got their bikes back, if they ever got the charges dropped. So those are all things that are happening around the place. And so give me an email if you'd like to have your city added to this list. And I'll try and make it a more concise list if that happens, because we'll be covering the whole country. Next week, the Bike Ballet. We'll meet Carla Laser, the legendary Carla Laser. And she'll tell us all about what she's been doing the last few years with the Bike Ballet. And I understand she's also got a TV show on public access now in San Francisco. And I'll have to find out some more about that next week, too. You know as much as I do, but I don't have cable TV, so I don't get to watch it. But maybe we'll find some link or something. Okay, everybody, have a lovely week. And get out there and ride. Keep the rubber side down, all that stuff. And... goodbye.